The Sunday Baroque podcast is made possible by WSHU and the Friends of Sunday Baroque. You can find out more about the Friends of Sunday Baroque and find out how to become one yourself by visiting our website, sundaybaroque.org, under the Contact tab.
Sharon Isbin is a Grammy Award-winning American classical guitarist who has performed with ensembles all over the world. She's also a music educator who founded the guitar department at the Juilliard School of Music in New York. She's collaborated with musicians across genres, including Stanley Jordan, Joan Baez, Mark O'Connor, and Heart's Nancy Wilson. And she plays everything from contemporary music written especially for her to music from the Baroque era. Sharon Isbin, thank you so much for making time to speak with me.
Suzanne, it's a pleasure.
So I want to go right back to the beginning, and I'd like to ask, how old were you, and how did you get started in music, and was guitar your first instrument?
My first instrument was actually the piano, which I became at the ripe old age of 6 and quit by the age of 8. And when our family moved to Italy, I was 9 years old. My older brother said he wanted guitar lessons. He was a fan of the Beatles and Elvis Presley. And my parents found a wonderful teacher who was commuting from Milan to Varese, where we were living, brought my brother for the interview. He realized it was classical, said, "No way, not for me," and I volunteered to take his place.
Wow. So you had no preconceived notions about this. This was almost like a happy accident.
It was, and I did know a little bit about folk music and thought that was cool, so I figured this couldn't be too far afield. So I really stumbled into it by default, and eventually fell in love with guitar, and that became my passion.
Now, you actually bring up a really good point that I wanted to ask you about, because the guitar plays such a pivotal role in so many musical genres, not just classical, but of course rock and jazz and folk and Latin America. And, you know, you have mastered them all. You're such a versatile musician. I wondered if that was maybe part of what attracted you to the instrument.
Well, I think that it was really a shift in gears from science when I was determined I was going to be a rocket scientist, and I would spend many hours building and launching model rockets, and my father would only get me to practice by saying that I had to put an hour on the guitar first before I could do that. And when I won a competition at 14 and walked out on stage with the Minnesota Orchestra playing Vivaldi, in fact, Baroque music, and there was an audience of 5,000 people 2 days in a row, I thought, this is even more exciting than seeing my worms and grasshoppers go up into space. I think I've become a guitarist. And wow, it really was an overnight turnaround.
Wow. So, you know, the instrument is such an old instrument, really, and it has a very solid place in the classical repertory. And yet, it always surprises me that the Juilliard School of these, you know, wonderful, prestigious institutions didn't have a guitar department until you established it. So what was behind that? Why was there such an oversight?
I think that really, if you compare the guitar with any of the other standard instruments, it's much, much newer. And I think it just needed time to evolve and develop a repertoire and a persona in the mainstream classical music world, and much of that has to do with having well-known composers write for it and having it featured not just in its own little niche, but in the solo spot with symphony orchestras and on main stages of major concert halls. So I think that by the time Juilliard asked me to create the department in 1989, they felt committed to the instrument and the role it could play at Juilliard.
So now, when you're playing with some of these other musicians, the people who don't necessarily have, you know, your classical background and training, people like Joan Baez or Nancy Wilson or any of the wonderful musicians that you've collaborated with, is that experience different? How does that compare to when you're working with a group of classical musicians or an orchestra?
Well, one of the things that happens with people who are improvising is that it's going to be different each time, and that really has to shape and, I would say, refine your listening in a very different kind of way, and it makes it very exciting because it's always going to be a new experience. So, for example, if I'm doing music with somebody like Steve Vai or Stanley Jordan, I know that each time we play it, it will be something new. And I find that exciting, and I have great admiration for people like that who just compose on the spot.
It's very different from those of us who have very straight-ahead classical training, so you have to get out of your comfort zone.
What's really interesting is Bach was the jazz of its time, and when you think about how performers and the composer himself approached that music, they would improvise the embellishment, and it was really something that had that spontaneity, and that was one of the reasons that I chose to study with Rosalind Turek and to really immerse myself in Baroque performance practice with one of the great interpreters of our time. And I spent 10 years studying with her, and it was a really revelatory opportunity to learn about not only embellishment, but Baroque style and phrasing and articulation and dynamics and how all of this relates to structure, and to really think about what that meant to performers of the time. And that was their jazz.
And I'm so glad you brought up Bach, because so many musicians in, and again, many different genres, profess a very special relationship with Bach's music. And I'm wondering if you feel the same way, and why you think that is. What is it about Bach that grabs musicians so firmly?
It is not only a physical and musical challenge, but also an intellectual one. He was a genius, no question about it, and his prolific output is just hard to even imagine. And his ability to combine so many voices at once and to be able to face that challenge of hearing them horizontally, vertically, and in every possible way, harmonically, rhythmically, it, I would say, is the most difficult music for any musician to perform. So if I want to challenge myself, that's what I go to. And I just feel so fortunate to have had as my mentor Rosalind Turek.
Now, do you have any other favorite composers you have a special relationship with?
Well, that would be a long list. And I certainly love playing Spanish music. I do a lot of 19th century music by people such as Granados, Albéniz, Tárrega, and others. South American music. I've collaborated with a Brazilian from the Amazon rainforest, Tiago de Mello, did an album called Journey to the Amazon. He's a percussionist and composer. I've worked a lot with contemporary composers as diverse as John Coriano, Tan Dunn, Chris Rouse, Joan Tower, Leo Brower, many more. In fact, just premiered a concerto in 2015 by Chris Brubeck, the son of Dave Brubeck, and it's a wonderful, dynamic jazz, Middle Eastern inflected fun work that I look forward to playing many, many times.
Wow, sounds wonderful. Now, a lot of what you play also are arrangements of music written originally for other instruments. I assume that you write your own arrangements, and I'm wondering what that process is like, and how can you anticipate what music will lend itself well to transcription or not?
You have to be able to imagine the guitar and its unique characteristics and see if that is something that resonates in the original. So, for example, Segovia was brilliant at taking music of Albéniz and setting it for guitar. One of his best-known transcriptions is Asturias, a work that I included on the Guitar Passions album, which is an homage to my guitar heroes. And I think that one has to be creative about how you approach setting for the instrument. A transcription is what we would term something that really hones to the original in a way that doesn't veer far off course, whereas an arrangement will take many more liberties with it. And both are different approaches to setting music from one instrument to another. Bach was certainly an exemplar of that, having set hundreds of his own works for different instruments.
So are there any projects on the horizon, particularly Baroque or Renaissance music, anything that you're sort of looking at right now and thinking, yes, this is going to be this is on the bucket list?
Well, I'm always involved with new composers, and in addition to the Chris Brubeck work, which I have the fortune of premiering with Maryland Symphony in April of 2015, and many more performances of that coming up. I am excited about a work that Richard Danielpour has written for me to perform with the wonderful mezzo-soprano Isabel Leonard. It was a commission by Carnegie Hall for their 125th anniversary, also 2015. and we'll be doing a number of performances of that. So in the Baroque world, I'm thrilled that Warner Classics has issued a release of Bach for guitar, which represents all the Bach lute suites that I edited with Rosalind Turek and recorded under her guidance. And I also published editions of two of those with G. Shermer, so that if you're a guitarist and you want to figure out how to do some of that, you can go to the sheet music itself. And one of the other albums that Warner Classics recently released was in a 5-CD box set called Five Classic Albums, and it has not only works with orchestra that are traditional in Latin with the New York Philharmonic, Rodrigo Ponce Villalobos, but also the Baroque Favorites album that has several concerti by Vivaldi and Bach, and also the Adagio of Albinone.
Well, it's brilliant work. I'm a huge fan. What a thrill it is to be able to speak with you, and I can't wait to hear what is coming down the road with all of these projects. And I want to thank you again for making time and for making so much wonderful music for us to enjoy.
Thank you. And actually, if you want to see some Baroque performance visually on a new documentary, it's called Sharon Isbin Troubadour. This was aired throughout the United States on nearly 200 stations in 2015 by PBS, presented by American Public Television. And it was just recently released on DVD and Blu-ray by Video Artists International. And there's a whole section about my collaboration with Rosalind Turek that shows me performing part of one of the suites, and actually shows her in performance and a dialogue about what this collaboration was like and what it meant to me.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we'll make sure we put a link on Sunday Baroque on the Facebook and website for that. So
wonderful.
Yeah. Well, thanks again.
My pleasure.